Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Focus on yourself and stop trying to scheme others. Cause once you get your wealth, then you can start to wake others. Stop running from yourself and take up your throne. Listen. Don't let them entities take up your home. Trippin'. Cause you're the entity that makes them stone cold demons. So I'ma hit them hard when they hit low. I'll be on your boulevard with my righteous flow. Yeah. I'll be pulling all these cards with this mighty flow. Never claim to be a thug. I just walk with love. They just wanna give me the me mug because they nothing but someone that's not dealing with themselves. They probably need a hug. I'm the one to hit them with this truth. They sweep it under rug. So deal with it yourself. Don't hide behind the drugs. The nation is the nation's epidemic. This is not a gimmick. I'm just here to make the people feel it. Orchestrate and kill it. Put it in its place and add some grace. And we can re-reveal it.
This world is yours. It's yours to show. So do it for yourself. You the day one. Day one. So do it for yourself. You the day one. Day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one.
I'm back up on my grizzly. Used to live in pity, throwing pity parties. Now I'm litty, I am my committee. Went from starved to living large. We live with no regard. So bring your light, cause you the star. They say we come from Mars. Either way, it doesn't matter, cause you make it happen. You the author of your story, make or break it, captain. See, right here, I'm building mansions on this track for rapping. Get the hell up out my house if you ain't about it, faker. A lot of fakers, man, it be a lot of takers. They just here to make me strong so I can elevate this. I'm just here to bring you something that'll last for ages. And you're just here to bring us something that'll last for ages. Now that's contagious, I can write 1,000 pages. But you gotta make the choice that'll rattle Satan. Until you pull up in a Royce and show us how to make it. Until you pull up with your voice and show us how to take it.
Take it.
Welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Monday, February the 18th. Monday, February the 18th of 2019. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. As you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you. I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sister, we want to talk about, this is really part 2.5 of the private series, the pay-per-view series, but I want to do this on the Blog Talk channel, the free channel, make it available for everybody. So that way people can understand the value of understanding the electromagnetization process that turns you or magnetizes you so that way you become a magnet that allows you to become money or to become monetized or monetized, which allows you to be maximatized or become maximum. And so this show today is talking about the 20 things that limits or destroys or demagnetizes. So if you want to be demagnetized, this is the opposite of becoming magnetized. So what we want to do is we want to establish the ways by which we demagnetize ourselves, which means we make ourselves demonized. So in order to be demonized, to be demagnetized, you got to go through or you do these 20 steps that keeps you trapped in darkness instead of in light. And so the things that makes you unattractive, because remember the things that makes you attractive, what we'll be talking about later on tonight, and what we've been talking about in this series is The word attractive, like all of these words, is the underlying and understanding of etymology. And etymology is the understanding of atomology, because we all are atoms. We all are Adam, and we, because Adam means race, and atom. So this is Adamology. This is atomology. This is etymology. All of these is an S, is the underlying understanding of revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying. But it is this inability to reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify that keeps us duplified, or and allows us to duplicate. So instead of evolving and growing, we just duplicate what I call Groundhog's Day. So it allows you, this is what keeps you trapped in Groundhog's Day. This is what keeps you stuck like Chuck. This is what keeps you from vibrating or keep you from oscillating. Because remember, it is all in the phonics or the phonetics of the words. So etymology is atomology, is atomology, and is atomology. It's all the same word. And so there's ability to understand demonology. In order for you to be a good demon, you got to be demagnetized. And the whole purpose of the pay-per-view series is for you to be, is for you to become magnetized or to become attractive. Now, again, by definition, because what we're doing is we're focusing on the definitions. So we're replacing dead definitions with head definitions. Dead or head. Just replace the D with the H. That's D, which means to de-evolve. H, which has to do with the heaven, or to elevate. So the word attractive is something that is, it's like charming or pleasing in appearance. It's something that draws. It's something that engages. It's something that attracts. It is a drawing power. The word attractive comes from the word attract. So the word attractive has in it the word attract. And the word attract means to draw by something that is appealing. It is a force that causes something to unite, to adhere, to attract. Well, today we're talking about the opposite. We're talking about the thing that repels. And the word attractive is the word attract. You have to be on attract. But if you're not on the right track, then you're going to be detract. So the word tract, T-R-A-C-T, is like a region, or it's like a place, or it's like a bundle, or it's like a path, or it's like a destination, or it's like a destiny. So the thing that makes you attractive is that you are on a track. If you're on the wrong track, then you're gonna detach. And if you detach, you fall into these 20 areas. So today we want to go through the 20 keys that allows you to demonize you. Notice this is what you do to you. There's no devils, demons, no reverends, doctors, bishops, nothing. All of this is you. If it is to be, it's up to me. So the inability to over and understand these 20 keys that establishes, that makes you detractive or unattractive, or makes you demagnetized or demonized. So you become a demonstration, or you establish a denomination, or again, you become demonized. And this demonization comes from the inability to, again, focus, discipline, order. The inability to oscillate or vibrate in your lane. The inability to magnetize yourself. And this is extremely important, because what happens is most people go through their entire life without understanding the greatest knowledge of all time. The greatest knowledge or gnosis of all time is to over and understand your attractiveness, or the thing that draws things to you, so that way you can get out of Groundhog's Day. Because most of us, we're stuck in the same routine, doing the same shizness over and over again, and we don't know why. It's because, number one, we're too vague. Now, these are the 20 keys that establishes a good demon, a good demon, which means a good denomination, which means a good domination, that your brain, your mind, will, emotion, imagination, and intellect is dominated. So it is this dominating process that overrides the cognitive function of the brain. It despiritualizes you. So number one, vague. So when vague is the opposite of specific or focus. Now remember, we could spend a lot of time really going in depth into each one, just one of these words alone. Because again, in the beginning was the word. Wrong word, wrong beginning. Wrong word, wrong world. So these are the 20 keys to establishing the wrong world. Number one, vague. That's like the kissing the devil in the mouth. That is a state where you are not clear. Remember, money follows clarity. So money is repelled when you don't have clarity. And pretty much everybody I know, they have no clarity. They have no they got a wish, they got a hope, they got a dream, they got an idea, but they lack a clear perception or understanding. Clarity, comes from etymology. Father, touch the minds of your people. Let me say that again real slow, because this one is a cookie blower. Everything in life comes down to clarity. So no clarity, then you have no purpose. You can't see. Clarity just simply means clear, the ability to see. If you can't see, you can't be. So clarity is the result of etymology. Let me say it one more time. Again, it's extremely important, because the one thing that I don't see is I don't see a lot of etymologists in the world today. And I'm going to be breaking that down tonight, so I don't want to talk about it here on this venue, but I will be breaking that down later on tonight, because without this, your dogs don't hunt. That you don't have spirituality, you have demonology. Vague. Number two, negativity or negative. Number one, vague. Clarity is etymology. It's you can't have anything in life without an etymology. It just, contrary to popular belief, doesn't exist. I don't care what you got, but if you don't have etymology, which allows you to have clarity, which allows you to see, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Knowledge is consciousness. Consciousness is the ability to see. That makes you, number two, negative. Negative is just, it's learned helplessness. It's the inability to see. Now, in fact, let's go through really, really quickly. We'll state all 20, and then we'll go through them. Number one, vague. Number two, negative. Number three, defensive. Number four, personality, taking everything personal. Number five, being uninterested. Number six, saying I'll try instead of I will. Number seven, making excuses. Number eight, paranoia instead of metanoia. Number nine, double-minded, undecisiveness. Number 10, compromising. Number 11, rationalizing. Number 12, justifying behavior. Number 13, not taking responsibility. Blame game. Number 14, funny guy. Jokes, joking about your behavior. Number 15, being a martyr. Number 16, anger, being angry. Number 17, impulsive, being impulsive, spur of the moment. Number 18, do it now, destination addiction, feeling forced, pushed by demons instead of led by God. Number 19, drama queen, drama, trauma, always creating drama, always creating trauma. Number 20, stubborn. Stubbornness is as a sin of witchcraft. Those are the 20 keys that means you're a demon. And if I'm a betting man, you probably got most of those. Or if not you, you know, people you know. Now, again, those are the 20 keys that demonizes people, that makes you unattractive, that makes you, again, the word attractive means attract. It means attract, be on a track. So you are off track. That's the same word as hamartano in the Greek. That simply means you're off track. That means you, the sin means you're on the wrong course. It means that you're not righteous. That means that you're not right standing. The Bible says that there is none righteous, no, not one. So that we all are off track. So that the purpose is for you to become more angelic spirit and less demon flesh. Now, I know that's probably contrary to your theology, but pretty much everybody I know got all 20 of these. That's how most people are demons, meaning they got a disposition that is not attractive. They got certain what we call personality traits, and we say, oh, you know, that's just Uncle Jim. You know, he always pissed off. He always this. You know, we make excuses. That's number 7, for the disposition. Instead of saying, oh, no, that's not love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Therefore, if it's not one of those, that means it's the opposite. That's a daimon. That's a diamond in the rough, a.k.a. bad guy. Now, everybody liked the bad guy because now, remember, the enemy took the truth. He turned it upside down. So now a diamond is a girl's best friend. Because again, it's the day moon. It's what it's called a nightshade vegetables, or nightshade vegetable. And I was talking with my mother-in-law because she went to the doctor and they said she has a really, you know, high potassium. And we was talking about again, and I was breaking down something that causes that, and that is nightshade vegetables. Now most people, like again, I wrote a book that breaks this down that talks about it. These are foods that certain people have to avoid. You know, potatoes, tomatoes, eggplants, sweet potatoes, cauliflower. All of those are nightshade vegetables. That means that they don't get the thing that makes the vegetable grow doesn't come from the sun. The thing that makes the vegetable grow comes from the moon. Now nightshade vegetables contain something called solanine is a chemical that in some people it aggravates and it causes inflammation. And it causes the body to hold. Remember, the body is just a sodium and potassium pump where it causes the body to hold potassium. And so nightshade vegetables are dangerous for some people. So some people have to avoid nightshade vegetables. Why? It gets its energy from a different source than the sun. Well, demons, what we're talking about, it gets their energy or source from negativity, not positivity. So number 2, remember, number 1, vague. Number 2, negative. So if you get your energy from, now some people are empowered by negativity. Now, as a guy that been there, done that already, you guys heard my story, you know that I used to, still do, that's the thing I have to avoid, is negativity. Because negativity empowers me. It doesn't have the effect on me that it has on other people. So the more negative you are, the more power I get. So for some people, negativity lowers their vibration. For me, negativity increases my vibration. It gives me more power. It enhances my ability to be more demonic. That's why I try not to. In fact, I do. I avoid negative people, like the plague. Because I know negativity, the word negative, it basically is a Latin word. It means negativas, which means negate us. So the word negative means to negate. So the word negate, it means to deny, it means to nullify, it means to make ineffective. So when you are around negative people, you know what you're doing to yourself? You're lowering your vibration. You're not, again, this is how do you make a demon? How do you turn a spirit into a demon, into a flesh? This is what the devil does to you every day, all day. And if he ain't doing it to you, he's doing it to people that you know. So that way, again, you can't grow. Because if he can connect you, remember, birds of a feather flock together. I don't care how positive you are. If you're around negativity, it's going to negate you. It's going to nullify you. It's going to make you null and void. It's going to make you neglect you. Because you cannot put emphasis on you when you're always listening to it and putting emphasis and pour your energy into somebody else. So all of that time and energy that you spend with somebody else, you could be spending that time and energy with your track. So you're not attractive. It makes you ugly. That's what the word negative means. It means to negate you. It means to deny. So the only way that I can keep you from being you is I got to make you negative in your head. And if for some stretch of the imagination I can't get you, no problem. I'm going to get your man or your woman or your children or your aunt or your uncle or your mama or your daddy. Somebody around you is negative. That's the only way you are ineffective. It means to nullify. It means to make you invalid. So in order to make you non-existent, I got to nullify you. Or I got to connect you with somebody that can drain you. And so this is how you make a demon. This is the demonic process. I see this operating in pretty much 99.999% of the people that I see or know or talk to on a daily basis. Because, again, we're talking about how, again, this is really a part of the series. But I want to do this in public so everybody can see themselves. Now, we went through all 20. Now I'm going through each one individually. Number one, negative. Number two, vague. Everybody I know is very vague. They got a general idea, but they don't have a specific purpose, a specific niche. They haven't broken it down yet. That's step one. Step out of 20 steps to become a good demon. 20 steps to neutralize you, to demagnetize you, so that way you are not on a track that would make you attractive. I need to make you not attractive. So what attractive means, you draw stuff to you automatically. You just walk in the room and people walk up to you, want to give you money. But I cannot, if I'm the bad guy, I cannot have you being attractive. That makes you effective. So how do I make you ineffective? Step two. Step two works so well, it's almost, you almost don't need the other steps. Because remember, the word negative means negate. The word negate means to deny, make ineffective. It means to nullify. It means to make you invalid. So I don't care what you say, how powerful it is, if you're saying it from a negative position or if you're attached with somebody who's negative, they suck your positivity out of you. So that way when you talk to me, you're not attractive to me. All I see is a negative person because you're not valid. You are invalid by definition. It means back formation. The word negative means to negate. It means negation. It's a Latin word. That's why you cannot afford one negative talk. One, not one. I don't do negative. Because negative means it means to deny the existence. It means to deny the evidence. And it means to deny the truth. I'm here to replace error with. That's why I don't do negative. Because negative means you're replacing truth. Now, brothers and sisters, if you want to not receive a call or text or anything back from me quick, that's all you got to do. Watch how fast you disappear. You can stand right in front of me, and it's not like I don't see you. I do it pretty much all day. I don't do negative. I don't give a blank about the evidence that supports the negativity. If you say something is real, bank account zero, that's a true fact. For me, it's not a fact because that's a negative. That's saying that the glass is half full. I don't do that. Because I understand that's how you demonize a person. Now, see, once you understand the definitions, once you understand the definitions, then you could understand etymology, which is etymology, which is etymology, which is etymology. Now, I'm going to break all that down tonight because etymology is the same thing as etymology because they're phonetically the same. But the enemy, he used phonics, but we don't understand phonics. Because we're, number one, vague. Number two, negative. Number three, defensive. If you want to grow a demon, that's how you do it. This is what the devil does all day, every day. I just sit back and watch as people become defensive. They got to defend. You think the lion needs to be defended? Now, have you ever noticed that the lionesses do all the work in the pride, and the male lion basically don't do jack? All the male lion is there for is to maul. The male lion only shows up when the lionesses are having problems bringing down the prey or something tries to invade the pack. Some rogue lions, some hyenas show up. Then the male lion shows up, he shut it down. I was watching this documentary last night, and they was talking about, I forgot, it was a lady, she was talking about the 60s and the march. Everybody was talking about Dr. Martin Luther King, Martin Luther King, and they went through and they showed pictures of all of the civil rights movement. And you know what was there? Women, black women. There was no black men. Now, I go to church today, what do I see in the churches? Black women. Where's the black men? But Martin Luther King got all the credit for the civil rights movement. It wasn't Martin Luther King. His name wasn't even Martin. His name was Michael. Y'all don't really want to know the truth about Martin Luther King, because then that's going to, again, you will be defensive, because you got to defend. The word defensive means you're trying to protect. You're trying to defend. Do you think God needs you to defend him? If you got a God that needs you to defend and promote him, you got the wrong God. Again, this is how you demonize people. This is what happened probably to you. Martin Luther King got all the credit for the civil rights movement, but Martin Luther King didn't do jack. He may have spearheaded. He was the person that they put out front. But all of the people that was getting pushed around by cops and beaten and abused, all the people that were sitting on the buses, all the people that was in churches singing Kumbaya and marching and crap, they was all women. So the civil rights movement was moved forward by women, not men. But men get all the glory. Like, men did something. Go to the black church today. What do you see? Women. You don't see no men in there. Where are all the men at? They're at home watching football. Women do all the work. But men get all the credit. Now, that makes women, it should make you defensive. Why? That's the enemy's goal. That's the only way he can demonize you. He got to make you defensive. Do you know what the word defensive means? It's from a Latin word that means defendor. Defendor. It means the word defensive comes from the word defend. It means to alert to criticism. So you got to defend. So again, number one, vague. Number two, negative. Number three, defensive. So if you're defensive, that means you got to defend. That's why I don't. Now, again, this is why I don't debate. I only educate. Because if you're debating something, that means you're trying to prove something. Do you honestly think I have to prove what I'm doing works? You can just look at the proof. The proof is in the pudding. Lions, they don't got to prove they're the king of the jungle. You just go out there and mess with one and watch how you get mauled. That's proof. He got claws, he got teeth and muscles. He's just a killing machine. The lions are built to end lives. That's what they do all day. They just look for stuff to kill. If it moves, the lion gonna kill it. So you think that needs to be defended? So that's you. You are designed to destroy demons, and you're defending what you believe. The word defend means to maintain by argument, to uphold by contest, to uphold by argument or theory. That means that you're trying to prove the validity of. I don't have to do that. I don't have to defend shiznit. I'm not argumentative. I know a lot of people that are very argumentative. Oh, man, all they do is love and hip-hop crap all day. All they do is talk about, girl, did you see what he said? Oh, you know what's posted on Facebook? Girl, can you believe he said this, that, and the other? Oh, man, are you serious? Freaking all day arguing. That's a sign of a demon. A big one, not a little one. Vague, negative, defensive. What's number four? Taking everything personal. The whole world is against. Do you know how many people I talk to that, man, everything is personal? There's somebody listening to this show, they're going to email me and say, well, Brother Will, I feel like you was talking about me today, my brother. Man, if you don't get a grip, like life doesn't evolve around you, boo-boo. I got bigger fish to fry. I'm not sitting up here trying to talk about you. If you take stuff personal, that's a telltale sign that you have been demagnetized. So that way you can be demonized. So that way they can establish their disposition in your head. They got to make room. They got to oppress, depress, so that way they can possess. Once that happens, ding, ding, ding. You are not attractive. You're not on attractive, attract, A-T-R-A-C-T. You're not on a track. You're on the wrong road. You're not righteous. You're not standing in the right place. You are in sin. That means you're living without your lot, your share, your track. You got the wrong map. You got the wrong motivated abilities pattern. Most people I know, they got the wrong lot, the wrong share, the wrong destiny. Therefore, they take everything personal. Number one, vague. Number two, negative. Number three, defensive. Number four, take everything personal. Number five, disengaged, disinterested, dissatisfied. Oh, man, disharmony, all of the D-I-S's. Number five is you don't feel like nothing matters. You just like, you know, a stage that I remember my kids, especially my oldest son went through. Man, it was rough. You're like, Dad, man, I heard all the stuff, man. I saw the way you went through, man, your life, Dad. Ooh, wow, I don't want to do that. And, you know, you told me all this stuff, you know, I was like, man, chemtrails in the air, fluoride in the water, you know, wind towers everywhere. Like, man, they're attacking us on all angles. You know what? We might as well just go smoke weed every day, watch cartoons, and just kick back. Nothing that we can do is going to make a difference. So, yeah, I'm disinterested. Why? Overwhelmed. Why? No specific niche. One, vague. Two, negative. Three, defensive. Four, take everything personal. Five, you're disinterested. You're disengaged. But the reason that you're disengaged is because you're overwhelmed. The reason that you're overwhelmed is because you have no God in you. Now, if you worship God outside of you, well, someone's raised in the church. But, he was raised watching me fail with God. So he figured, hey, man, my dad's life sucked, and he got God. He preached every Sunday, and he comes on to treat us like trash. So that God, I don't want that God. So now I have to retrain and reshow and redemonstrate and remodel the different – I had to get it better. See, this is how I know what you got don't work, because I didn't read about God in a book. I did what everybody told me to do, and guess what I did? Crash and burn in front of my children. So my children, they hate church because the God of the church don't work. And it's not that he don't work. It's that we don't understand how he works. We got a form of godliness, but we ain't got no power. So that makes us disengaged. Let me rephrase it. It made me disinterested. That's why I left. Packed up my shit and left. Why? Disengage. That means you turn your back on your engagement. It's like, you know, when you get married, before you get married, you go through what? An engagement process. What is that? So when you get engaged, what does that mean? That means you want to occupy their attention. It means to put energy into something. It means attention. It means you pay. Notice the word pay always precedes attention. That means attention is not free. You got to pay for it. With what? Your time, your focus, your discipline, and your order. So disengage means you have no focus, you have no discipline, you have no order. You just run around buck wild. Why? Nothing works. I've been there, done that. I got two T-shirts. I spent a long time of my life in stage five, and then you go to stage six. Stage six is you say this, well, I have, but Will, you know what? I'm going to try to see if I can get the money for your program. That's how I know. Ooh-wee. Now, let me see this. Everybody, if you're at home right now, just look around and see something, and I want you to try to pick it up. So right now I'm sitting at my desk at home. I have a bunch of pens. There's a purple marker in front of me, and there's a black marker. I'm going to try to pick up the purple marker. Let me see. My hand is moving towards it. My hand touches it, and I picked it up. See, try doesn't exist. You either do or die. You either do it or don't do it. Then no. Try is when people tell me all the time, but I'm going to try, that means disposition is there, operating in full effect. Anytime you say, I am going to try, instead of saying, I will do blank, when you say, I'm trying, it's the same thing as saying, I'm not, or I'm dying. Trying is dying. See, I don't try to lose weight. I don't try to make money. Try to be healthy. I don't try to be wise. I don't try to have a great relationship. Hell no. Or heavens no. What? I am. I will. See, two totally dispositions. Demons try. Angels do. See, when you vibrating in a high level, you don't try. You either do it or you don't. So I don't try. I've never tried to pick up an ink pen off my desk. If I want to pick it up, I'm going to go over there, put my hand on it, and pick it up. See, it's just a very small change, just like seeing a glass that is half full instead of seeing the glass that is half empty. Change of disposition. It's a change that says, I am lion versus I am hyena. It's a change. You just look at the world. You just choose to see the world differently. So number six is stop saying try and just saying I am. Or if you don't want to pick the pen up, say I'm not going to pick the pen up today. Why? I don't want to. You got to give nobody no reason why you don't want to do what you want to do. You grown. If you don't want to do something, don't be like I used to be. Well, you know, I don't want to disappoint anybody. I really don't want to go, but, you know, okay, I'm going to go ahead and go. No, dude, if you don't want to go, don't go. That's how you marginalize yourself. That's how you demonize yourself. It all starts by you being vague, doing shit that you don't want to do. Then you're negative when you get there because you really didn't want to do it anyway. And then you become defensive when somebody asks you, hey, why are you sitting around the corner by yourself? And then you start taking everything personal. You at the party, but number one, you didn't want to go anyway. Now you're there and you're negative. You're very defensive. Now you take everything personal, so you disengage. And then you start saying, like, I'm going to try. Then you go to number seven, you start making excuses. See, when you make an excuse, what you're doing is you're not telling the truth. Excuses are what? You know what an excuse is? This is why I love etymology. Because when you make an excuse, that means it's an exit. It means you want to ex and then excuse. Excuse. It's the grounds or it's the reason for excusing yourself or exiting. It means the word ex, excuse means cause. So an excuse is an ex-cause. When you look at that, well, again, the etymology of the word, breaking it down. So an ex-cause is an attempt to blame. It means ex-cause. It means ex means to go away, to move away from. Excuse means accusation, legal action, or cause. So when you're making an excuse, you're moving away from the true cause. So every time you make an excuse, you're trying to shift the blame. So making an excuse is making a release from the cause or the charge. So it's like everything has a charge or a cause. Remember the word because? The word because? Okay, I'm doing this show because I want to. That means I am being the cause of this show. An excuse means I stopped being the cause. That means I'm going to blame somebody else and say, I didn't cause that fight. Somebody else did. Even though I did cause the fight, I don't take blame. I don't own it. I don't take responsibility. So when you make an excuse, you shift the blame. Now you go out, let's say you go out into the woods and you cause a fire. The fireman get there and he said, hey, what was the cause of the fire? What happened? You know, I don't know, man. I don't know what happened, dude. I was just out here. Next thing I know, woof, I saw a flame and I just ran and called 911. You know good and well, you was out there. You had a camp going, fire going on. The fire got out of control. You tried to put it out. You ran and you burned a whole freaking forest up. But when you make excuses, you know the cause. You are the cause, but you blame somebody else and you say they're the cause. That's a sign of demonization. That means something is dominating your brain. Remember, oppress, depress, possess. So when we talk about, remember, this is the opposite of what we're going to be talking about tonight, because tonight we're talking about personal magnetism. We're talking about spiritual magnetism. We're talking about how to be attract, to be on the track that makes you attractive, so that when you draw, it means to propel things to come to you. See, right now, everybody's working too hard. See, I don't work hard. I just wake up and then check my bank account, my PayPal account, and then I do shows, and then people come up, they watch the videos, and say, hey, Brother Will, I saw this. I was drawn to this. How do I sign up? Okay, I like that program. What do? I just do what I just stay in my track. So as long as I'm in my track, a.k.a. destiny, a.k.a. purpose, a.k.a. position, I will draw all men unto me. But the moment I get outside of my track and I start being vague, I start being negative, I start being defensive, I start taking everything personal, I become disengaged. I say, well, I'm going to try to do a show, or I start making excuses. And then when I do that, then I do number eight, I become paranoid. So I replace metanoia with paranoia. Now, I've done a series on that. Everybody knows that metanoia, meta, and then noia. Now, meta means before or beyond, like metaphysics. It means before or beyond physics, physical. So metanoia, that means spiritual transformation. So noia, again, has to do with nous or mind. So metanoia means a change of mind. To change mind, meta, and then N-O-I-A, metanoia. That's the good stuff. Because it means to change one's mind or purpose. It means to establish a better mental perception. Because of the word nous, N-O-O-S in the Greek. That means mind or thought. So meta, it means before or after thought. It has to do with spiritual conversion, metanoia. But see, we don't got that. We watched a lot of TV last night or this morning, and now we got paranoia. Are we paranoid? You know that paranoia is classified as a mental disorder? It is classified as systematic delusions. It is the projection of personal conflict onto others. Most of what I know is paranoid. That's a sign of demon possession or a disposition that's not yours that's attached to you. So if you are, you mean to tell me you are afraid of being afraid? Like everything, now, again, I'm not talking about normal caution. I'm not talking about common sense. I'm talking about broad daylight, and you are, let's say you're a woman, you want to go outside and jog and exercise, but you have a mental derangement. That's what it's called. You have a mental illness. I mean, you know, not you, but, you know, people know. You have a systematic delusion, meaning that you've conjured up certain ideas in your head that, hey, jogging outside in the broad daylight is bad. Now, I'm not saying, now, if you're in Watts or if you're in, you know, certain parts, if you are, you know, in Brady Green up in Chicago, if you're down in Fifth Ward in Houston, you know, if you're in certain areas of town, night or day, you might not want to go jogging in the daylight unless you're packing. I'm not talking about that. That's called common sense. But what I'm talking about is there's 100 people outside. Let's say you're in Central Park in New York. And you go there and you see 100 people jogging with dogs, everybody out there. But you are afraid. You're distraught. That means paranoia is a mental disorder that is produced by para. That, now, again, para means beside or beyond oneself. That means you see something, but you see beyond what everybody else sees. Para, beyond gnosis, mind, beyond the mind. The imagination can't turn off. Remember what faith means? Faith is the ability to turn off the imagination or to control it. Fear, you do not have the ability to control it. Faith controls the imagination. It says, hey, calm down, homie. There's 100 people out there. If somebody grabs you, you just yell, you know, just do some defensive techniques, do something. Or do what I do. You have the I wish I Negro would mentality. And you look them in the eye, and they like, oh, we're going to find an easier target because that one looks a little feisty. Because why? You got purpose. You and your track. So you draw everything that you need for life and godliness to you, including no weapon formed against you shall prosper. All who rise up against you shall fall, that God will make your enemies your footstool. When you walk through the valley of shadow and death, you will fear no evil. So paranoia and being one with the Father, being in the kingdom, you either one or the other. You cannot be in the kingdom and be paranoid. Because why? Lions, when they walk through the jungle at night, they ain't scared of nothing. In fact, they do most of their damage at night. Usually in the daytime, they just land underneath the tree sleeping. So who's lying? What animal in the jungle is a lion afraid of? Answer, zero. Nobody. He's the king of the jungle. So you got a kingdom. So you shouldn't be afraid either. So being paranoid makes you really superstitious of everything and everyone. That leads us to number 9, double-minded, split personalities, undecided. Now, the Bible talks about that a double-minded man will not receive no thing, gnosis, nothing. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot of things that you can do, but you can't be double-minded. The way you get double-minded, to get away from your double-mindedness, find your tract, attach yourself to your tract. That makes you attractive. That means you draw all things unto you. When you lift up, when I be lifted up, I draw all things unto me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who now lives in me, as me. So it is no longer I. So when I say I mean Christ. Christ means the messianic office that furnishes the one in that office with the power to fulfill that office. Are you in your office, your track? That is why you're not attractive. Demons want you to be out of your office because they know, Peter we know, Paul we know, but who are you? The only way you can get smoked, the only way that you can get whooped, the only way that you can get drugged, you're in the wrong track. And the only way you can be in the wrong track, you got two tracks. Well, Brother Will, I think I should do this, and I think I should be that, and I think I do that. Every other day you got a new ideal. I-D-E-A-L. That's not attractive. Double-minded. Number 10, comparison. Ooh, man, if I, oh, wow. Everybody wants to compare or compete. Nobody wants to complete. So you compare, what if I would compare myself to T.D. Jakes? What if I was to compare comparisons? Now, people go around and they look at what other people are doing and they try to do what they are doing. They have no regard for their own disposition. So your job is not to compare yourself to other people. Your job is not to compare yourself to other things. Now, comparison is the act of comparing. It is a mental state of being compared. So compared or comparing. Now, a lot of people spend a lot of time comparing their company to somebody else's company. Now, the word comparing or compare, it means to examine. Now, there is good to comparing, but when your comparison gets to a place where it is to liken yourself, it means to rival. So the etymology of the word comparison is word compare, C-O-M-P-E-E-R. So a comparison, that's, yeah, you don't want to do that. Because you're not trying to compare your nation to somebody else. So comparison is a mental state of looking for the same or similar qualities or likeness. So I want to be like the Most High. I am not to try to come. I'm not trying to come. That means to go and pair. That means to literally to couple with. I'm not trying to couple with somebody else because there's nobody like me on earth. So comparisons, when you're making a comparison to somebody, you're trying to C-O-M, that means to come with. P-A-R, that means to prepare a couple, P-A-R-E. So if you P-A-R-E, that means to reduce or remove, P-A-R-E, like prepare. So to reduce or remove, so are you trying to reduce or remove yourself? That takes you out of your track. Pair means to trim or to cut, basically to limit yourself. So I don't want to limit myself to T.D. Jakes. I don't want to limit myself to Creflo Dollar. I don't want to limit myself. I don't want to limit myself to Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins is great, but if I put myself, if I try to be another Tony Robbins, that's limiting my effectiveness. See, Master Teacher 33, see, I'm global, purpose-based. I build temples. I don't just motivate people and take money. That's two totally different. Not that that's good or bad. That's just different from what I'm doing. So comparison, making comparisons, yeah, that's another sign that you're not oscillating and vibrating, that you're not magnetic, that you may be under the influence of Lucien Farr. You are demagnetizing yourself because you're comparing yourself. Then that leads to number 11, rationalizing or rationalization. Woo, this is a big one. Because a lot of people, they rationalize their behavior. Now, I used to have this one bad, so I can talk a few hours on this one. This is really dangerous because it is often unconscious. So rationalization is a unconscious agreement. So rationalization means that you rationalize your behavior, your position. It means to justify one's actions. So rationalization is how you rationalize. It means to rational away. It means to make comfortable by reason. It means to give an explanation that conceals true motives, rationalization. That's, again, that's another sign that you are in the flesh, that you're in fear, that you got mind chatter, that you're demonized, that you're demagnetized. These 20 keys are all the keys to demagnetization, which is demonization. To become a good demon, you got to have these 20 attributes. Now, if you got three or four of these attributes, you on your way to demonization. That's the total opposite of what we're discussing. We talk about personal magnetism, and we're talking about spiritual magnetism. We're talking about the thing that makes you attractive. Now, I'm not talking about physical attractive. Everybody's physical attractive. I'm talking about spiritually attractive. I'm talking about your aura, your A-U-R-A, your A-U, gold, R-A, radium, or radius. So that should be gold. Take out Lucifer. That should be God. That's your God circle. Remember, the definition of the word light in the Bible. It means that there's a circle around angels while they're on earth. The God, he put a circle around you while you are on earth. This is it. This is what draws all men, means, and resources. So if you got to convince, however you get somebody, that's how you keep that somebody. So you mean, if I got to talk, now remember, I learned this the hard way. Remember, the first time I did this, all of my clients, I had to talk them into paying me $25 a month, beg and plead every day, because I begged and pleaded with them to join. So I had to beg and plead to get them to stay, and I had to beg and plead to get them to pay. That was 20 years ago. I don't do that no more. That's when I was younger, dumber, stupider. But I didn't know. Nobody told me what I'm telling you. So now I don't do that no more. I don't rationalize. I don't try to, you know, talk people into. I don't have to do none of that stuff no more, which takes me to number 12. After rationalization comes justification. So now it means justifying your behavior. So this is how you know that you are accompanied by a day moon. that demon, that denominator, he got to get you to justify what you're doing in your own head. Now, you got to justify it to yourself because you're not making sense to yourself. Now, remember, the Bible says that you've been justified by Christ. That means your justification comes from your messianic office that furnishes the messianic Messiah with the power to fulfill his messianic position. So if you don't have the Christos, the Christ, the CSF, the cerebrospinal cord fluid going up the back of your spine, that one day out of the month, and it's activating the crown chakra, so that way you can see clearly with your third eye, so that way everything is single. If thine eye be single, then you got to justify your behavior. That means you got to defend. You got to make sense of it, which takes us to number 13. That means that you're not taking responsibility for your behavior. So everybody that is not a day moon, they have the ability to respond, and then they have respond ability. I love watching people who over under and understand their ability, because that's where it starts at. If you do not have responsibility, that simply means you do not have the ability to respond to your ability. Now, let me make sure you understand what I just said, because remember, etymology is atomology. Atomology is etymology. It's all the same. But if you've never been exposed to A-T-O-M, you're not going to understand A-D-A-M, and you surely won't understand E-Y-T-O-M. But they're all the same. But we're going to break that down tonight at 6. Because if you don't understand that, you'd be like, wing, wing, wing. You're still kissing the devil in the mouth. You don't want to do that. Responsibility is a state. Again, responsibility is the state. That means mental disposition that is permanent. Let me say that one more time. After justifying, not taking responsibility, the inability to have a mental state that is accountable to the power and the control and the management inside of you. Ability. Responsibility is two words. It's the word ability and the word respond. Flip it around. It's the ability to respond. No demon can hang out with you if you got that. It is impossible. If the state or the position is for you to take the based upon the power given to you by your father, you can respond to any problem. So problem shows up and you're like, well, it's bring it on, homie. Please knock on my door if you want to. I got something for you. If that's not your disposition, you got the wrong God. Now, I know a lot of people that supposedly got God, but they scarred as hell. They scared of their own shadow. That means, not so much. That you may have a day moon. So we might want to get rid of them. See the word responsibility, ability to respond. You get knocked down, I'm going to respond. So no matter what happens, so that means you don't really think, oh, I hope that don't happen. You just like go through life, and you're not paranoid because you got metanoia. So you don't need to. You're not worried about none of the other stuff because you know greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. That takes you to number 13. See, if you can't do none of these other, if you can't, you know, if you vague, number one, you negative, two, defensive, three, take things personal, four, disengage, five, trying, six, making excuses, seven, paranoid, eight, double-minded, nine, making a bunch of comparisons, 10, always rationalizing, 11, justifying your behavior, 12, don't take responsibility for what you do. You blame somebody else. It's always somebody else's fault. The white man, the blue man, the green. It's always never your fault. Always somebody else's fault. Then you get to number 14. Everything's a joke. You're the funny guy. Oh, man. Negroes love to crack jokes. You can find a freaking Negro cracking jokes on every corner in America. Everybody wants to be a freaking comedian. Why? They got no cojones. So all you can do is crack jokes. See, when you can't solve problems, you got to laugh at them. You got to make it, otherwise you're going to go jump off a building because you know in your soul that you don't measure up. You know you should. You know you got the ability, but you ain't living up to your ability. You're making excuses, so now you got to crack jokes. So now I like jokes. Let's not get it twisted. I love having fun, but I'm having fun because of my greatness, because I've already been in a place where I not have an ability. So when you remove our fear, you have joy. You have blissfulness. It's the joy from heaven. You don't laugh at other people's calamity. You laugh at God's totality. So I laugh at because God is so powerful, and I was like, people don't know. Because there is no way that if you knew the God that I serve, if you knew your power and your ability that was given to you by your father, that you would have a concern. It's not possible. It's not possible for you to have fear. The Bible says, why worry about what you'll eat or what you'll drink? Do you not know that your heavenly Father? No, you have need of these things before you even ask. And you walk around saying, oh, Lord, how are we going to do? What? Like, why are you doing that? So what we do is when we don't know that, we got to make funny because we really scarred. So people laugh. You have people that have that, what they call it a nervous laugh. There's a little girl that plays on my daughter's basketball team and volleyball team. And every time she makes a mistake, she starts laughing. And that just irked me and my wife. We were sitting there watching the game, and we're like, why is she laughing? But it's a nervous laugh. She just laughs. She missed a shot. She started laughing. She missed the ball. Every time she makes a mistake, she starts laughing. That's that nervous laugh. That's a sign of not having ability or not recognizing your ability. And sure enough, yeah, she makes a lot of mistakes. And I'm like, why is she even in the game? Like, every time she touches the ball, it's a mistake. But she always plays. Crazy thing is, obviously she has ability. She's just not responding to the ability. Otherwise, she wouldn't even be on the team. And there's a lot of people who do that. Now, that's a little guy, like a little middle school kid. So, obviously, it's the coach's fault for not pulling her to the side and explaining to her why she does that laugh. That way she can stop laughing. Because to someone in the audience like myself who see through the smoke in the mirrors, I know that that's an individual that it's not the child's fault. There's no such thing as bad kids. There's bad parents. So every time I see a child in Walmart acting cray-cray, I don't say, oh, look at that little kid. I'm like, look at that worthless parent. Because it's the parent's fault. It's the coach's fault to pull the child over and educate them so that way they can overstand and respond to the ability that's inside of them. Otherwise, they grow up and they be on day moon. They become an adult who do not know how to respond to the abilities inside of them until they hook up with somebody like me who can educate them and let them know, hey, stop laughing. Is this not funny? This is your life. Because one day you're going to wake up, you're going to be knocking on 60. You can still walk around broke as a joke. It is not a game. This is not funny. So people who joke about their behavior, they joke about their life, and they don't take it seriously because they don't think they have the ability to solve their problems. So they got to make a joke out of it. Number 15, being a martyr. What do I mean by being a martyr? The Long Ranger. Man, I had this one bad. When you're a martyr, it's like you're the only one. You think, like, I honestly used to think that. Like, I was the only one that had been through something in my life. Like, I was the only one that had a bad childhood. I used to walk around with a chip on my shoulder because I thought I was the Lone Ranger. Nobody had a bad childhood but me. Nobody's mom died when they was a kid. Nobody had, you know, grew up poor. No, it was just me. God singled me out. He made my life hard. So, again, that's a sign that you got a couple of demons hanging out with you, homie. And I had a few. And it's extremely important, brothers, because this list, you can't find this list nowhere. This is a list I pulled out because I analyzed myself. And I'm like, okay, being vague, yep, negative, yep, defensive, yep, take everything personal, ooh, yeah. Disengage, yep, always trying, yep, making excuses, yep, paranoid, yep, double-minded, yep, comparing yourself to everybody else, yep, rationalizing your behavior, yep, justifying your behavior, oh, yeah. Not taking responsibility for your behavior, yeah. Didn't even think I had none. Making a joke, oh, yeah, I was always Mr. Funny, man. Being a martyr, thinking you're the Long Ranger, yep. Number 16, being angry, always pissed off. Oh, man, I was an angry little dude. I wanted to fight everybody. I didn't care. I took all comers. Thankfully, by the grace and mercy of God, I never ran up on somebody who just had a deeper hold than me. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't be here giving this show. The word anger means strong resentment. Why? See, people think anger, like most people don't really understand what anger means. Anger is a strong feeling of displeasure. Anger is really what they call indignation. That's really what anger is. So when you meet somebody that's angry, it's an act. They're not really angry. It's an insult to their intelligence. Like, that's what I was angry about. I had indignation. The Bible talks about righteous indignation. That's what anger is. Anger is indignation. It means something you consider something really unjust. It was cruel, it was harsh, and it was unjust. That's anger. So when people talk to people that are angry, they don't understand that what's going on is something cruel. Now, remember, it doesn't matter if it's real or not to them. Like, to me, getting hit on my back when I was a little kid, forced to, you know, go to sleep with no food, all the stuff, to me, that was cruel. It was harsh, and it was unjust. Therefore, ding, ding, ding. That's also the same definition of the word oppression. Cruel, harsh, unjust. That's step one for demonic possession. So when you go to the hood, what do you see? And people wonder why you can't reach black people, most, you know, black people in the hood. Why was I so effective in the prison system? Everybody in the prison was just like me. They had experienced cruel, harsh, unjust treatment. Everybody was angry. So somebody was more angry than others. So anger, like I talk about in my favorite movie, Tombstone, when old boy that scene where he said, man, how do you kill angry? Yeah, he hates the day he was born. That was me. I used to ask myself all that all the time. Why would God bring me into a world and then let all this stuff happen to me? I never said I was 5, man. I was 6, 7 years old. Why? Why would a loving God do that? It didn't make sense to me. Nobody. It means it was indignant. Anger is indignity. It's an insult on your dignity. So if you talk to somebody and you don't understand the word dignity, that's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with the demon of that takes dignity away. It's inhuman. Like slavery, that's indignant. I was watching a show where 6 white guys jumped this black lady way back in the 50s or sometime, or maybe before that. Raped her, and then nothing happened. They walked around every day. Human dignity. Dignity is just the state of being worthy. That means that you have relevance or importance. If somebody takes your dignity away, you're going to be angry. That's what happened to me. So when you talk to somebody that's angry, remember, in their brain, cruel, harsh, their dignity was attacked. That's what demons do. They attack your dignity. It just doesn't make common sense. There's there's stuff that go on that's inhuman. And it happens to people every day. So you have to minister to people like that who had things that were inhuman because the enemy wants you to be inhuman. He wants you to act like a demon. So this is how you demonize somebody. You make them like a demon by doing unreasonable things to them. That causes them angry. Then once you become angry, bam, that leads to number 17, impulsive. Oh, man, ooh-wee. I wish I had a couple of hours to talk about that one. Impulsive. That means it comes into your head and you act upon it. You don't think. Somebody cut you off in traffic, so you go cut them off. You slam on your brakes. It means swayed by emotional impulses. It means impulsion. Impulsive comes from the word impulsion, which comes from the word impelling or impulse. It means I am a pulse. Impulse. I am, throw the apostrophe in there. It means a mental state or disposition that has what they call an instinctive or psychic drive or urge. Now, that instinctive psychic drive is not positive. It means I am a pulse. Now, who controls your pulse? Pulse is an impelling force. So impulsive, it means I am incitement or I am pushing. It means I am striking. It means I'm about to strike. It means if I am impelling. It means I am impulse. That means there's an urge, there's a drive. I don't have the ability to constrain. Impulsive. If you find somebody that's very impulsive, oh, yeah, that's back there. He's hidden or she's hidden. But if you uncover that onion, if you ask those seven questions, why do you go to the store and you're an impulse shopper? And they say, well, you know what? I just see stuff and I like it. Why do you see stuff that you like it? Pull back. Seven times, remember? You got to ask that demon seven times before you find his name. Most people don't do it seven times. They do it three, four, maybe five. And so therefore you never expose that day moon, that diamond in the rough. But he's down there. She's down there hiding. That spur of the moment leads you to number 18. Woo-wee. Man, these last three are rough. These last three are kind of hitting home a little bit. So after impulsive comes do it now. You ever met somebody that like, they got no patience. They're like, Lou, I need to do it now. Like right now. Okay, can we do it tomorrow? No, we can't do it tomorrow. I need it right now. They need immediate gratification. They have no delayed gratification. They can't wait. They say, dude, I need you to pay me now. I always tell, I shouldn't say this, but I gotta be honest. I know I keep it real. I get clients, they'll make a payment, and I will get 20 emails in one day. Where is my shitness? I paid for my book. And because I don't have an autoresponder, I may be in church. I may be at the gym. So I check my email almost like once an hour. I mean, I got on my phone. I have my phone with me. And I'm always checking my email. But in the middle of the workout or in the middle of something or whatever, conference call, like right now, I'm doing this. So if somebody made a payment, I've been talking about, almost an hour and a half now. And they make their payment at 12, and at 12:05 they calling or texting. 12:10 I get another call or text. 12:15, and this goes on until I respond. Now I ain't mad at them. You paid, especially back in the day when I had my when the course was $5,000. Or I remember when I sold, about five or six courses at the $20,000. Now you wanna see if somebody just have a disposition. Thankfully, it was really interesting. The people that bought my course at the $20,000 mark, none of them had that. They would pay their $20,000 cash money one time, and they never texted me or nothing. Why? They was totally disengaged. They was told, they was devoid, that those individuals, they were magnetic because, number one, they were very wealthy. The reason that they were very wealthy, though, because they were very certain. They had already did the investigation. They knew I was legit. They knew I wasn't a fly-by-night company. They had done the research. They knew that I was a single-man operation. Number one, they had probably called and talked to me. In fact, they had called, texted me, and talked to me before. They were comfortable. They didn't have – they wasn't vague. They wasn't negative. They wasn't defensive. They didn't take anything personal. They wasn't disengaged. They wasn't walking around talking about, I'm going to try. They wasn't making excuses. They wasn't paranoid. They wasn't double-minded. They wasn't comparing. They wasn't rational. They weren't trying to justify their behavior. They didn't take anything, you know, personal. Or they, you know, for they were responsible instead of not being responsible. They weren't walking around cracking jokes. They weren't a martyr. They weren't angry. They weren't impulsive. They was okay with me getting back to them as soon as I possibly could. Because number 19, about one more to go, two more to go, 19 and 20. 19, they didn't have no drama. All demons have drama. That's why y'all think there's so much, what they call them now, reality shows on TV. Have y'all wondered why World Star Hip Hop is like so off the hizzle for shizzle? You ever wonder why people are drawn to World Star Hip Hop? You ever wonder why people like to, you know, watch people get, you know, people like drama. People like trauma. Because drama and trauma, that produces adrenochrome in the body. They both produce. You know that drama? It's a story that involves conflict. In order for that to be drama, drama is the state of being a mental disposition of being dramatic, vivid, emotional, conflicting. Drama. Drama, by definition, is trauma. Trauma produces adrenochrome, adrenaline and cortisone in the body. That's what Draco's eat. You cannot have a daemon or a demon attached to you unless you're dramatic, and unless you are traumatic, unless you are highly emotional, turbulent, and tragic. That is the only way you can be demonic possessed. Every person I know that's like that, they got a demon. Because demons feed off of that. That's their food. They got to eat. That's you got to be. And you know what the word drama really means? After you get past the basic meaning, you know, to do, to act, to perform, to be highly. Remember, you just can't be emotional. You got to be highly emotional, and it must be tragic. Like there's always, you ever meet that person that they always going through? It's like they always got something going on in their life, like all the time. Always something going on. Girl, you ain't going to believe what happened. He did what? Girl, he did what? Or these dudes got, hey, dog, you got $5 I can borrow. Always going through. Like, dude, you never on the mountaintop? You mean to tell me you always got problems? They always got something going on. Because the word drama means a deed, D-E-E-D, to perform. It means a great deed. Now, besides being an act, do you know that a deed is a contract? So to make a demonic contract with a demon, you got to perform, homie. You got to be a trained monkey. You got to be a hoop jumper. The demon say jump, you say yes, sir. And you go out there and you accomplish how? You produce adrenochrome. Do you know a deed is a document that is under seal, S-E-A-L? Remember those seven seals of Satan? That book I got, the seven S's of Satan? Drama. That's trauma. That means that you signed a lawful legal document where you transfer of property or a transfer of the ability is a legal obligation to create This is a legal document. That's what the devil has right and authority to say, jump. And you got to say, yes, sir. And you got to jump. So you give him legal right to make you emotional, to make you, again, dramatic and traumatic and tragic and turbulent. That's what that word means. Oh, man. Creating drama. When you see a drama queen or a drama queen, you are looking at a demon. Now, most people who are possessed, they don't know they're possessed. That's why people who possess are themselves possessed. People who are controlling are themselves controlled. That's why I can always tell a demon. It got to be his way or the highway. Now, I'm not talking about, like, business stuff. I'm talking about, like, if you go to somebody's business and you want them to do their business your way, okay, that's, like, that doesn't mean that you, like, maybe be a little deluded. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about common sense stuff. I'm talking about clear-cut domination, clear-cut control, clear-cut, I got to talk, it got to be my way, yelling, screaming, traumatic, dramatic stuff that creates adrenal chrome, which leads to number 20, the number one sign of a daemon, stubborn. Because the Bible says stubbornness is as a sin of what? Witchcraft, wicked. Again, I didn't read about this shit that's in no book. I've been there, done that, got two T-shirts. Do you know what the word stub means? It means short. It means not developed. It means a lack of inner development. It means what happened to me when I was a kid, arrested development disorder. Something traumatic happens that caused your development to stop. You are stub. You are stubby. It means stump. It means stump born. So a stub means a short mental development. It means counterfeit. It means stub means that something that strikes, that makes the life steep. The word stub comes from the word steep, S-T-E-E-P. It means something up against something. So the number one sign out of, now again, 20, all 20 of these can be summed up in one word, stubborn. Now, the word stubborn simply means that you stuck up against something. That means you struck something that made life steep. It means something that has a vertical pitch. Remember that word pitch? Come from the word tone, tune, tine. Remember I talked about that? If you're not in the right pitch, that means that you create disharmony. Steep is the act, the word steep. Simply means that something that is extremely high, that in your brain, you can't accomplish it. So what happens? You vague, negative, defensive, overreact, disengage, I'ma try, make excuses, paranoid, double-minded, comparison, rationalization, justification, no responsibility, you cracking jokes all the time, you're a martyr, you're angry, you're impulsive, you gotta do stuff now, you're a trauma queen, and you stubborn as hell. You ain't going to bust a grape. That means that everything to you is a steep upward slope. And you just like, man, I ain't climbing that hill. So you just go home, make your bowl of Captain Crunch cereals, turn on the cartoons, and you just chill. Why? Everything's a steep hill. Stubborn means that it is a high, everything is high and lofty. Stubborn means that you cannot reach it. So stubborn, brothers and sisters, stubborn. Stubbornness is as the sin of witchcraft. That's what the Bible says. But people really don't really understand that stubbornness is a fixed opinion of obstinance. Total opposite of aletheia, which is objectivity. Stubborn is the opposite of God. Stubborn is the opposite of truth. If you see somebody that's very stubborn, very fixed, they're difficult to manage. They're not interested. They have no objectivity. They don't even consider. Oh, man. Have you been to church lately? Do you have any stubborn people in there? Stubborn? That means total refusal. They're not even interested. They do not have the ability to consider. Remember, aletheia means consideration born. Stubbornness. brothers and sisters, you are looking at a demon in the daytime. It's a day moon. When you find somebody, now I'm not talking about people that, you know, I'm talking about these people, they are totally unforgiving. They're totally devoid of objectivity. They will never even let, they don't even let you talk. I don't care how great your ideal is, like, I'm not interested. So stubbornness is witchcraft, according to 1 Samuel chapter 15, 23. So versus those are the 20. But out of the 20, out of all of them, stubbornness, because stubbornness is idolatry. So being stubborn is the same thing as inquiring of idolatry. You are going to dial a try. You mean, I'm going to try. But change it around. It means try a idol. That's simply having something in your head that's different from your track, your niche, your destiny, or your purpose. That makes you stubborn against. You're not interested in your true position because you think you already got a position. So what if I thought I was called to be an NFL football player, and you told me, hey, Brother Will, I think you should teach didactic teaching using etymology to help replace error with truth. And I'm going to say, no, man, I'm going to be, you know, star running back for Dallas Cowboys. I ain't going to be doing research and studying up no esoteric stuff. I'm hell-bent. This used to be me. Hell-bent on being something that I'm not designed by God to be. That, brothers and sisters, that's a day moon. Hiding in plain sight. Walk around in broad daylight. Remember that movie, Blade? He was called a daywalker. Why was he called a daywalker? Because that demons now, they walk around in plain sight during the day. You might be living with one. Oh, yeah, they blend in now. Most CEOs, most big wigs, they psychosocial paths. Have you ever talked to one? Just go talk to one. They are very stubborn. They don't listen to nobody. They don't talk to nobody. Very hard to find somebody in a position of leadership or authority that don't have these 20 attributes and characteristics. Very difficult. So when you find one, you just found a man or woman of God. You might want to, it's okay to hang out with them because they understand whose they are and who they are. They're not vague. They're not negative. They're not defensive. They don't take decisions personal. They're not disengaged. They're not walking around talking about, well, we're going to try to do something. No, they got a crystal clear vision. They ain't making excuses. They ain't paranoid. They ain't double-minded. They ain't walking around comparing themselves to other people. They ain't rationalizing their behavior. They ain't justifying their behavior. They take responsibility for their actions. They're not walking around cracking jokes all day. They don't feel like they're the long ranger, like they're a martyr. They're not angry. They're not impulsive. They're not trying to do stuff right now. They ain't creating a bunch of drama and a bunch of trauma, and they're not stubborn. But if you find somebody that got these 20 attributes, that person that has demagnetized themselves and they have demonized themselves probably unknowingly. So tonight we'll continue to talk about the good stuff where we break down how to use etymology and an etymology and atomology to magnetize the self so that when you become attractive because you're on a track. Brothers and sisters, this is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. the one and only Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. At least that's what they say. May his son bless you. His name is, or bless you, his name is Yahushua. At least that's what they say. And may the Ruach, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, not some, not just King James Version, but all truth. Because it will never, ever, ever manipulate or try to control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Never knew that I would be the one to break through. Now I wake up and I pay you dues, so faithful. Better watch out for them fake fools, the snakes too. Can you paint up on the frame, dude? We stay true. Everything I do is from God to raise you.
Yeah, life is like a testing ground, it's to grade you. Yeah. It'll show you how you are to God or degrade you. When I pop up on this cold beat, I'm an angel. I can see right through your angle, dog, when I grace flow. Started out as hungry young bulls out to make dough. Make the system off the pedestal, using all this bull. When I drop the dirty heavy stool, I flush the toilet too. Yeah, I know that I'm not perfect, but I put in work too. Cause faith without some work, dog, it'll murk you. Haters, haters been inside your head, outsmarting you. Haters, haters taking all your bread, outworking you. I'm a sellout at the drone, rapping with a megaphone. Yeah. I'm a god up on the